The Lord is risen. He has risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible declares, and God gives us this good news, that we are saved by faith and not by our deeds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Have you ever gone to a funeral service where the people thought that the person who passed away was not going to heaven? I went to a funeral one time for a person who never went to church. He had no relationship with God. The only time he referred to God was when he used God's name in vain. He lived a completely immoral lifestyle, was cruel to everyone. Yet when people talked about the person, they said things like, "He's finally at peace with God." One person said, "He's looking down upon us from heaven." Still another said, "He was a good person and has found his eternal rest." It is almost as if people think that everyone goes to heaven and that all people are good enough by the good things that they do to earn their way into heaven. The question for tonight is, who really goes to heaven? How good is good enough? Is salvation something that we do, or is it something that has been done for us? Listen carefully to the epistle lesson that was read earlier from Romans chapter 3. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world be accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his grace by observing the law. Rather, through the law we become conscious of sin. But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law." From the time we are born, we begin to hear some strange things. We hear nursery rhymes like, "Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after." Or another one, "Rock-a-bye baby on the treetop. When the wind blows, the cradle will rock. When the bough breaks, the cradle will fall, and down will come baby, cradle, and all." The truth is that we are born into a messed up world. Both of these nursery rhymes talk about taking a fall. Our text as well talks about taking a fall. It says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." It does not say, "Some of us have sinned," or "Some of us will sin," but that all of us have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Right now you may be thinking, my life isn't that bad, and I'm a pretty good person. How can you say, Pastor, that I fall short of the glory of God? If you are out driving your car at 70 miles an hour in a 40 mile per hour zone, and the officer pulls you over, will it be enough to say, I made up my own rules? To me, 40 miles per hour means 70 miles per hour. Is the officer even going to buy that line? Even in life, we are held accountable to certain laws that are in effect. God also has His own law. This may sound strange to you, but God's law is summarized in one word, and that word is love. In Romans 13, it states, therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So as I talk about God's law, I am talking about love. God gives us His law because He loves us and He wants what is best for each of us. What is God's law? We know it better as the Ten Commandments. And these commandments teach us how to love God and how to love each other. The first commandment says, you shall have no other gods. This commandment tells us that we are to love God more than anything or anyone else. He is to be number one in all areas of our life. And commandments 4 through 10 tell us that we are to love our neighbor. We are to love and respect our parents. And the fifth commandment says that we shall not murder. Now, right about now, you may be thinking, I finally found a commandment that I have kept. But you are wrong. We can break commandments not only if we say or do things, but also we break commandments by sinful thoughts that we may have. Wishing an individual were dead is breaking the fifth commandment. Now, as we consider the Ten Commandments and take inventory of our lives in comparison to them, how do we do? Well, when I look at God's law, I become very aware of the fact that I have fallen short of the glory of God. This means that it is my desire to go to heaven, but I have messed up my opportunity to do it by my own ability. Is there anything in life that can fix our brokenness? If we are totally honest with ourselves, we may try to pretend like our lives are all put together and very stable on the outside. But on the inside, the Bible declares that we are broken. We are sinful. Our thoughts are messed up. Our relationships are falling apart. Our insecurities weigh us down. Harmful, addictive behaviors pollute us. Fear of life and even death itself burdens us. What hope is there for the brokenness of our lives? What is the answer to all of our sins? Look into Bethlehem's manger. Tell me what you see. What you ought to see is the sacrifice who came to make things right between you and God. You are a sinner, but Jesus was not. You are a sucker when Satan waves his temptations under your nose. But Jesus refused the devil, and he did it every single time. You are the kind of person that can't keep a commandment if your life depended on it, which it does. Which is why Jesus kept all of those commandments for you. Without a day off, without a vacation, without punching out because he had finished his shift, Jesus' entire life was lived for you. Understand, with his powers, he could have had lots and lots of fame. With his connections, he could have asked his father for legions of angels, and he could have swept aside the Roman armies and taken over the emperor's throne. Jesus did not do those things. Instead, he did this. He invested his earthly life for your eternal life. So you might be accepted in heaven, Jesus was rejected in his hometown of Nazareth, deserted by the crowds, misunderstood by his disciples, condemned by the leaders of his church, crucified by his government, so that you might be declared innocent of all sin. He avoided all temptation. He fulfilled the commandments, and then he carried his cross to Calvary. He paid the price for everything you have done wrong with his innocent blood. That most terrible and horrible of sins that you have done and thought, Jesus had nailed it to the cross with him. Look at the cross. It should have been yours. You should have hung there on that Calvary's cross. Not for just a while, but for eternity. Now you may think you deserve a good life, but your sins say that that cross will not get you, that you do not deserve a good life. Why? Take a look. God's sinless Son died there on Calvary's cross for you. And now all who believe on him, who give thanks for him, will not die eternally. On the contrary, they will live forever. And how do I know that? The Bible tells me so. And so does Jesus' empty tomb. There, Jesus' promise, because I live, you will live also. When Jesus died on Calvary's cross, his last words were, "It is finished. Your salvation is all done." Done! In the epistle of 1 John, we read these words. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins to God, he will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You cannot do enough good works to save yourself. You cannot give enough money to save yourself. On Calvary's cross, Jesus did it all. He gave you his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. He did that for you. Your salvation, because of Jesus dying on the cross, is done. On Good Friday, one of the thieves that hung next to Jesus said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied to that believing thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise." It made no difference what that thief had done. It made no difference what a sinner he was or how many times he had sinned. He looked in faith to Jesus Christ and will be in heaven. When you near the end of your life, you can be confident of your eternal salvation. Why? Because it's all been done. All doubt of eternal life, eternal death is gone. Through faith in Jesus, you can be confident of your salvation, both now and also in the future. Tonight, we celebrate the Reformation. Growing up, Martin Luther was taught that he had to do work, good work, to earn his way into heaven. As a monk, he would whip himself for his sins. He would endure days and nights in a freezing room, and he would starve himself. Luther was taught that all these good works would earn him a higher place of salvation. As a monk, Luther read one of the few holy Bibles. There he read these words, "The just shall live by faith." After many years and trials in his life, the Holy Spirit opened Luther's mind to see that because of the death of Jesus on the cross, a believer's salvation is done, all done. And as a result, Luther preached this word of God in all of his sermons. Luther put these words of God into music, into the hymn that we sang earlier. Luther put all of these words into his heart, and then he translated the New Testament from Greek into German so that everyone could read God's word and understand what God had to say for them. Sermons were no longer preached in Latin as they had been the custom for hundreds of years. Instead, Luther preached his sermons in German so that everyone could understand them. Luther wrote 95 sentences or theses, and he posted them on the door of the Wittenberg Church. In those sentences, he wrote that the sale of indulgences and work righteousness is wrong. It was wrong because nobody can buy their way into heaven. Martin Luther taught that it's not about what we have done or not done for our salvation. Instead, it's all about what Jesus has done for our salvation. It's all done. In Ephesians, St. Paul wrote these words, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Our salvation is an undeserved gift through faith, for God gave us this saving faith and our salvation as a gift. God has given us this gift of faith to do good works for God and also for our neighbor. Our salvation through faith is to be shared. It is to be shared with everyone, with all people, everywhere. We are to spread the gospel of salvation through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus to everyone in the world. That's good news. That's tremendous news. That's the best news that this world has ever had. That good news, the Bible says, is to be preached and taught to the very ends of the earth. Tonight, in our Reformation service, we give all glory and all praise to God, whose honor and praise will go on and on through countless ages. To him be all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.